Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wake up in the middle of the night. Something. What is it? I drift back to sleep, only to surface again a few minutes later. It's one of the cats. The sound is far off, almost the hint of a sound. But there it is again. A sliver of sound, a pitiful rumor in the night. One of the little ones is stuck somewhere, feeling scared and alone. Ugh, I'm so sleepy. It'll survive. Today, I am going to give a stewardship sermon. I know it didn't sound like one when I just started, but that's what I'm going to give, a stewardship sermon. So I want to talk about value. When we hear the word value, we think more, like buy one, get one free, or 50% off while supplies last. It just so happens that this week, if you want to, you can save a dollar if you buy two boxes of Cheerios down at the Hannaford, which is $3? Three boxes. Oh, excuse me, three boxes. You can save a dollar. But I'm not very interested in that this morning. I am not a supermarket coupon. I am a minister. And when I talk about value, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about saving money. I want to consider something of great value. And when we say something about great value, we say that something is precious. A diamond, for example, is a precious stone. Mr. Google says that the Cullinane diamond that was discovered in South Africa in 1905 is worth approximately $400 million. That's a lot of money. What makes something precious? Anyway, if we look at the diamond as an example, perhaps we can say there are two things that combine to make something precious. A diamond is beautiful, and it is rare. So does that sound like the correct equation to you? Beautiful plus rare equals precious. That may be the way to think about diamonds, but it doesn't really satisfy me. As a minister, I like to think theologically, and when I say theologically, I mean theology means the study of the nature of God and religious belief. So what do I mean by precious when I try to say it theologically? How do we speak about the idea of precious when we're talking about God? Later in the night, I wake up again. Carrie's drowsy voice says, "What is that? Is that a kitty?" "Yes." "Where is it?" "I don't know." "It must be stuck somewhere." "Yes." And with that, we both fell asleep again. Meow. Last week, the island of St. Thomas was one of many Caribbean islands ripped apart by Hurricane Irma. One woman, Laura Strickling, described emerging the next morning as stepping out onto another planet. The neighborhood that had been there the day before was barely recognizable. Reverend Jeff Neville, who is pastor of the Reformed Church in St. Thomas, was interviewed by NPR and several other news outlets. He said, "The first couple of days, there was some looting I saw going on and some tensions running high. It was kind of crazy, like a war zone, and people were just walking around like zombies." And he went on, "After the storm, we all kind of went out and said, okay, there it is. It's horrible, but what do you do? You've got to bend down and pick something up and move it and put it back in its place. And that is what we did." According to NPR, Neville, his church, and other faith-based nonprofits have continued to do their work. Quote, "Together with my brother's workshop, the Salvation Army and the Red Cross, and other churches in the area," I'm back. "Together with my brother's workshop, the Salvation Army and the Red Cross and other churches in the area, Neville's congregation quickly got back to work to get people set with their basic needs. That meant food for more than 400 people a day, canned goods, hygiene kits, and diapers for lines of people that stretched out the door." So back to the word precious. Remember that equation, beauty plus rare equals precious? This is the precious of diamonds. It is my opinion that this equation is a weak one, which is kind of ironic because diamonds are supposed to be the strongest thing out there. But I think that it's weak, this equation. It's weak in a theological sense. And here's why. Beauty plus rare equals precious is so obviously constructed on human opinion. The idea of beauty can change, and so can rareness. Rareness, if we found a mountain of diamonds all of a sudden, diamonds wouldn't be rare anymore. So precious in this sense is only temporary. If it is possible to come up with an equation that is less dependent on human opinion, perhaps we can find a more permanent, even eternal, notion of the word precious, a theological understanding of precious. Well, I wake up again. Carrie also stirs. "Poor thing," she says. "I'll get him," I say. I get up. The old farmhouse stairs creak as I walk down. Meow. We have two new kittens, two males, that we have named Totem and Taboo. They are kittens. And you know what that means. Actually, I thought that we might come up with a good equation for kittens also, and that is this. Cute plus trouble equals kittens, right? And I'm inclined to suggest that this equation is a theological one, even though it's certainly just as dependent on human opinion as our previous equation. I'm sure, Carol, you would agree with me, right? Cuteness, as far as kittens are concerned, is an eternal truth. And trouble, too. It's irrefutable. But I don't want to jeopardize my theological credibility on this line, so I'll just get off it right now. The little imp, in other words, was in trouble again, and it was in the middle, naturally, of the night. As I suspected, the plaintive sound was coming from the basement. So I opened the basement door. But there was no cat. The medieval Italian philosopher and mystic Saint Bonaventure said that because we have such refined consciousness and we have such remarkable senses, we humans have the ability, the unique ability, to perceive the vestiges of God that exist in our world. He called them footprints. I love this idea. I love the possibility that if you pay close enough attention, or perhaps if the circumstances are just right and you happen to be there, you can become aware of God's presence. You can see God's footprint, a hint of something eternal, something sacred, that is present within our fleeting, temporary world. Could this be a theological definition of precious that we've been looking for? The Apostle Paul seems to agree with this suggestion when he writes that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and that the same God inspires all of them in everyone. So a precious thing could be a gift that is obviously temporary, but still somehow contains within it a hint of the eternal. And could this precious gift, could it be what Jesus refers to when he tells us to give up treasures on earth and instead concentrate on treasures in heaven? Perhaps it was the dark old farmhouse in the hushed depths of an early September night. Perhaps it was my disoriented, semi-conscious state. Perhaps it was the basement light flicked on that finally attracted the little kitty to the bottom of the stairs. Perhaps it was the kitten's obvious relief at being discovered and saved from the lonely basement. Whatever it was, when I picked him up, I was suddenly keenly aware of its life. The little thing, a handful of fur with eyes and a quivering heart. How strange and wonderful that we should live on this Goldilocks planet, just exactly the right distance from its star to give us the possibility of life, to give us the gift of consciousness, to give us the presence of God. I hold this small creature in my hands and I am filled with wonder. Perhaps this too, this capacity for wonder, is contained within the theological idea of precious. We experience the eternal within the temporary, and we are filled with wonder. This is the poetic moment, the prayerful moment. It is precious. And church has been many things in many cultures. It has been, in many cases, filled with problems. But church, as Reverend Jeff Neville has shown us this morning, is the one institution in our lives that tries, however clumsily, to create the context for our experience of the precious. I believe that church, at its best, stands ready to turn chaos into love. The mission of the United Church of Jaffrey is to grow our Christian faith through acts of love towards all. Perhaps it is this mission. Perhaps it is the fact that this church was the second church in New Hampshire to become open and affirming in the early 1990s when it was a hard thing to pull off. Perhaps it is the banner on the back wall that proclaims always for others. Perhaps it is the way that Triple D leaps into gear to provide funeral receptions for those in our area who are grieving. Perhaps it is the wide variety of ages that join together in these pews. Or perhaps it is our great, great hearts. I think it is all these things, and many others besides, that make this church precious. I know this in my deep heart's core, and I will meditate upon these things this week as I discern how much I want to pledge for the upcoming year. And I ask you to join me in that meditation. Amen.